Okay, hi once again to everyone out there in internet land. We're going to carry on with the But God series that we've been looking at. Last time we basically looked at the first example of this phrase, But God, in the Bible. And I'm sure with a memory like yours, you'll remember both the theme and where it's found in the Bible. But just in the extremely unlikely case that you have a memory like mine, let me tell you again, it's in Genesis 8:1, and we looked at how Noah and his family were in the midst of really obviously the greatest flood, the greatest storm, the greatest devastation that this world has ever known. And we kind of explored this thought of God's storms last time. And today is really going to be sort of part two of that message. I'm going to just focus on a different part of the phrase in Genesis 8:1. So you might remember Genesis 8:1 says, But God remembered Noah and all the animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. But God remembered. So we've obviously been concentrating on the first two words in that phrase, but God. But I actually want to do just a short message, a short study today on the last two words. God remembered. Because these two thoughts go together, like salt and pepper, like a knife and a fork, coffee and cream, socks and sandals. Okay, maybe scrub that last one. Don't be like me and do socks and sandals. Well, not publicly anyway. So this is just going to be a little study looking at what God remembered, what that actually means. And we're going to look at examples in the Bible and also some personal testimonies as well. And so as we go into it, just think for a moment. Let's just stop and think for your own life. Have there been times when it seems that God has forgotten you and what you're going through? Have the tough times taken a lot longer than what you hoped for? Have you then experienced God remembering you and turning things around? And if so, can you look back now and see why God let you wait longer than you might have liked at the time? If so, let me just sort of say straight up that this is all very normal. God has a purpose in all of this. Sometimes in this me-centered age that we live in, we listen to voices that kind of give the impression that God exists to make all things well in our life, that he exists for our pleasure more than we exist for his. But it's not the case. He has a purpose in all his dealings, a really incredibly high purpose in all his dealings with us. So anyway, let's just jump right in. Let's start back with that verse in Genesis 8:1. But God remembered Noah, and it says that he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. They'd been in the ark a long time. Basically, about a year. They're adrift, they're at the mercy of the wind and the waves. But we read that God remembered Noah. Now, it's a slightly odd phrase to use of the Almighty, all-knowing one, don't you think? God remembered. Does that mean that he had forgotten Noah? Was he up in heaven checking his daily to-do list, thinking that things look pretty light today? Earth has been flooded, tick. Wicked humanity and Nephilim judged, tick. All sorted. And suddenly he thinks, well, actually, no, wait a minute. Wasn't there a boat somewhere? Noah and his family. Gabriel, what happened to that boat? Have you seen that lately? Is that still upright? Okay, look, no, it's good. There it is. All right, I better get on to that today. Right, I'll make a note of that on my list. Save Noah. Actually, might as well get on to that now. Wind blows strongly from the east. Is that what it means when it says that God remembered? Obviously not. God remembered does not mean that he's forgotten. If you or I were God, Well, that would be a different story. In fact, that would be a mess. It's bad enough trying to remember where you put your keys last night, right? Let alone trying to remember everything that the world needs to operate successfully. But God isn't like that. He's all-knowing. He doesn't forget anything. Well, apart from one thing that he chooses not to remember, as we'll see. So what does it actually mean that God remembered Noah? The famous pastor John Gill, he wrote this. He said, "Not that God had forgotten Noah, for he does not and cannot forget his creatures. But this is said after the manner of men, as it might have seemed to Noah, who, having heard nothing of him for 5 months, and having been perhaps longer in the ark than he expected, might begin to think that he'd been forgotten of God. But God remembered him and his covenant with him and the promise that he had made to him." So from a human point of view, especially when we're going through a storm, it can seem that God has forgotten us, can it not? But he hasn't. But that is how it can sometimes seem. Think about Noah and his family for a second. The force of the flood coming from both above and below the earth would have wiped out humanity really quickly. And yet it continues to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. But even then, Noah might have thought, well, now's the time to we can get off the ark. But the Bible says the water continued and it flooded the earth for 150 days. And the Bible doesn't say that God was speaking to Noah at all during this time. It's quite likely Noah didn't really know exactly how long he was going to be on the ark. But it just all seemed to be taking longer than expected. All up, when you do the maths, Noah and his family were on the ark for approximately 1 year. And that's a long time to be cooped up closely with the same humans, let alone all the animal sounds and smells. But God remembered Noah. The fact is that they're often the "but God" and the God remembered moments take longer than we expect. But don't be surprised at that, Christian. It's not a lack of your faith. You're not being treated strangely. This is normal Christian living experienced by all saints throughout all the ages. Then the patient waiting makes the "but God" moment all the better. So what I want to do is just have a look at some of the other saints throughout the Bible, where it has been said that God remembered them, and just sort of ponder their story a little bit. The first one I want to look at is the children of Israel in Egypt. Can you remember how long the Israelites were in slavery down in Egypt? Here's a quiz question starter for you. How long were they in slavery in Egypt? Genesis 15:13 tells us, and it was 400 years. Think about that for a moment. 400 years is a long time. That is a long wait. That is a lot of prayers. If anyone had reason to believe that God had forgotten them, it was them. But he hadn't. In Exodus 2:23 to 25, it says this: "Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And here we are 2,500 years later, and we're actually still talking about their "but God" moment. Why? Because it was so incredible. The length of their wait, the manner of their deliverance makes for an incredible story. But God remembered his covenant with Abraham and spectacularly delivered them. But God used that long wait for his purpose. You see, before the Lord could take Israel out of Egypt, he really had to take Egypt out of Israel. He actually had to bring the Israelites to the place where they wanted to go to the promised land. And that's easier said than done. They were quite comfortable initially down in Egypt. And it actually involved difficulty and mistreatment by the pharaohs of Egypt for that to occur. But when the perfect time had come, according to his word to Abraham, God heard their groan. God remembered his promises. You know, he can deliver at any stage, even through what you're going through at the moment. But always remember that he has a higher purpose with a goal, not just primarily to rescue you from trouble, even though thank God he does do that. His higher goal is to develop his character in you. You know, and the saints of old knew this, even if it's really not all that popular to teach it today. You know, just to give you a quote, Charles Spurgeon, he said, "The furnace of affliction is a good place for you, Christian. It benefits you. It helps you to become more like Christ, and it is fitting you for heaven." But praise God that he also hears prayers, even sighs and groans, and God remembers, but in his perfect timing. I want to give you a story. It's a testimony. It's a few weeks ago, I heard this wonderful example of God hearing a sigh, hearing a groan, and remembering his promise. And I heard it with my own ears, which, as you shall see, is the miracle in itself. And it came from a friend. It's actually my brother-in-law's niece. A lady called Andrea. Several years ago, Andrea was actually under a lot of pressure, a lot of financial and work stress. And this stress just continued to build for some time. And it actually ended up breaking out in an odd way. She lost her voice. All she had was just the faintest little whisper. You know, she would kind of talk a little bit like, now, you'd think that given a few days and maybe some rest, you know, things would come back to normal. But sadly, no. You know, the days became weeks, the weeks, months, the months, years. She obviously had to leave her job as a teacher because you can't teach when you have no voice. And over the coming years, the stress really didn't let up. There was financial pressures for the farm that she and her husband were operating that only continued to increase. And without a voice and no job, you know, she carried on looking after her children as best she could, but the stress was always there. And so despite many prayers from many people, many trips to various health consultants and voice specialists, she could only speak with a small little whisper. Until a few weeks ago, that is. You know, a few weeks ago, I actually rang to speak to my sister, and Andrea answered the phone, and her voice was perfectly clear and normal. And I was just amazed, because all I had heard is a whisper for, you know, nearly 3 years. So I asked her what happened, and she told me that she was down on the farm by herself, trying to gather the cows. And they had split into two groups. You know, one group was heading one way, another group was heading the other, and she was by herself and having no voice. She was just getting frustrated because it just seemed like there was nothing that she could do. She couldn't call out to them. She couldn't get them to come together and come the right way. And really, coming to the end of herself, not knowing what to do, she just let out, she said, this loud, exasperated sigh. It was just all too much. But then she told me that as she let out this loud sigh, she heard God clearly speak to her, and he just said, "Speak low." And so she tried. And though it was still a quiet little voice, the lead cow of the group stopped, turned his head and looked straight at her, and then turned his direction and walked exactly where she wanted him to, and the rest of them followed. And in an even greater miracle, from that moment on, her voice started to come back. She said that it initially sounded like a monotone, like she was depressed and her kids actually would tell her not to talk. It was bringing them down. But she kept practicing over the next few weeks by herself. And here we are, a few weeks on, and it's now perfect again, even after all these years. Now that is an awesome but God story. And it actually, to be honest, only scratches the surface of the difficulties and the strength that she went through. But God remembered and proved faithful to Andrea. That's just fantastic. If we look at another story of God remembering in the Bible, this one's really of two famous women. So I'll do a little bit of a quiz starter for you. See if you can work out who it is. Two famous biblical women. Who am I? They were both well loved by their husband. They were both in a marriage where their husband had another wife. They were both barren and desperately wanted to have children. They were both provoked and cried out to God for many years. They both experienced a but God moment where God remembered, heard their cry. And they both gave birth to a son that would become legendary in Israel's history in their own right. Who am I? All right, it's easy, is it not? Clearly, this I'm talking about Ruth and Esther. Okay. It's not Ruth and Esther. No. It's Sarah and Rahab. All right. I can't trick you. It's Delilah and Jezebel. Okay, that's actually getting less and less likely, isn't it? All right. No pulling the wool over your eyes, though try I must. Actually talking, as you well know, of Rachel and Hannah. You know, in Genesis 30, 1 to 2, it says, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. And so she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. And Jacob became angry with her and he said, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? And later on in that chapter, 30 verses 22 to 24, it says, then God remembered Rachel. God remembered Rachel. And God gave heed to her and opened her womb. So she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord give me another son. You know, it wasn't easy at all for Rachel. Despite being loved by Jacob, there was a fierce rivalry in the home with her sister Leah, who was really pumping out the children. How many had Rachel had? None. You know, think about it for a moment. You know, she knows the promises that had been spoken about how God had appeared to Abraham and to Isaac, and how he had told them that he was going to make a great nation out of them. And Jacob, her husband, has also encountered God, had the same promises. So here is her chance. Her children will go down in history. She knows that she needs to produce a son or many sons. But despite her desire and her prayers, it's just not happening. She can't even have one. Hence the verse that I read out where she basically shouts at Jacob, give me children or I'll die. Hannah was in a similar position. You know, she was loved by her husband, Elkanah, but she was also barren. And what made that situation even worse was that she was getting bitterly provoked by Peninnah, her husband's second wife, who was very fruitful. In 1 Samuel 1, 10 to 11, 19 and 20, it says this. It says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, if you'll only remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Early the next morning, they arose, it says, and worshipped before the Lord. And then they went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. And in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. So in both of these cases, despite being barren, the scripture tells us that the Lord remembered them. You know, and what came from that? For Rachel, the long, difficult wait led to the birth of Jacob's greatest ever son, Joseph. You know, he was an amazing man. We know all the story of what he did down in Egypt, and he's the greatest type and picture, really, that there is in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ himself. For Hannah, her difficult waiting led to a vow to offer any child that she had back to the Lord for his use. And the result was the legendary, godly judge and leader of Israel, Samuel. Both had to wait amongst many tears, sighs, groans, heartache. But God remembered them, and he blessed them incredibly when the time was right. And that's the way with God. Often when we have to wait for things a long time, when God does remember, when God does act, what he does is really special. You know, I just wanted to give a story. I've spoken about this before, probably more than once, knowing me. So I'll actually say it quite briefly here, but really this about God remembered. This is Mum's story. You know, as I was reading about these two women, about their difficulty, the cries, the length of the waiting that these two women endured, it just reminded me of an experience that my mother had. You know, her difficulty was not in having children, thankfully for me, but really with a husband that was damaged, was abusive, was very, very difficult for the whole family to live with. You know, and to put it bluntly, and quickly, you know, our house growing up was just one fight after another. And one day, as Mum was weeping and crying out to the Lord, because she didn't know how we were going to manage and carry on as a family, the Lord spoke a scripture clearly to her. It's actually from Jeremiah 31. It says, thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work will be remembered, declares the Lord, and you'll return from the land of the enemy, and there is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return. So in the midst of tears, basically God said, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. There's hope. You will return, and your children also. You know, it actually took nearly 20 years for that to be fulfilled. But in 1990, my father, my brother, and I were all saved, even though we were living in different areas and didn't have anything really to do with each other's salvation. It was just an incredible but God moment. You know, you can't put it down to anything else apart from a mother and a sister who continued to pray right through those difficult years, and a God who answered those prayers. You know, to be frank, it was a miracle that salvation would happen to any of us, let alone all three. But God remembered my mother. He remembered his promise to her, just as he had for Rachel, for Hannah, and countless others before her. But God, eh? But God. All right, let's move on to actually another example of God remembering. this time kind of with a prophetic implication. There's two scriptures that I want to look at. One's from the first book of the Bible, and the second is from the last. Both are incredibly relevant for the day in which we live. So the first one is from Genesis 19, 24 to 29. And it says, "Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Now Abraham arose early in the morning, and he went to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and towards all the land of the valley. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended up like the smoke of a furnace. Thus it came about, when God destroyed the cities of the valley, that God remembered Abraham, and he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived." And then the second scripture that I want to read is Revelation 16, 18 to 19. And then it says, "Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. And the great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath." So we've got two sort of contrasting but similar also scriptures here. First of all, it talks about on the eve of God's judgment falling upon Sodom and Gomorrah, that scripture tells us that God remembered Abraham. And what was it that he remembered? He'd remembered his promise to Abraham that he would not judge or destroy the righteous with the wicked. And so before the judgment came deliverance. Before the angels could do anything to Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his family had to be taken out. You know, this is incredibly important because this story of Lot is one of the many examples that show that God's people, the righteous, are delivered before the wrath of God comes. You know, it's going to be the same for the church of Jesus Christ in the last days. You know, before God's judgment comes, his deliverance comes through the rapture. God's people have to be taken out before God's judgment comes because he does not judge the righteous with the wicked. You know, Jesus will remember his promise made to us and take us to be with him. But that's not all that he's going to remember in the last days. You know, Revelation also tells us that God remembers the wicked. In the last days, Babylon and the whole Babylonian spirit and system is actually going to be remembered for his judgment. You know, today we look around, we see really abundant wickedness and lawlessness, and often you kind of think, well, how long can you just carry on and get away with that? You know, how do wicked men, especially behind the scenes, you know, powerful players, how do they plot evil and do evil things in these secret places and just continue to do so? How long will it be before God judges? You know, the answer is obviously that no one eventually gets away with anything. No one actually escapes judgment. You know, God has not forgotten, but he simply is patient and gracious because he wants all to come to repentance. But the day is coming when he will specifically remember this Babylonian system, the wickedness of men, and he will repay justly for all that has been done. You know, this is a sobering thought, but it's also a motivating thought, for the only safe place is in Christ Jesus. In him, the fires of God's judgment have already burned out on that cross 2,000 years ago. So all that are in him are in the only perfect, safe place, free from all judgment. This kind of brings us to the final point in this study, and that is really what God forgets. You know, we've been talking about God remembering, but there's one thing that God chooses not to remember. And we kind of need to be clear that this is only for those that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one thing that he forgets, or better, chooses not to remember, and that's our sins. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament says this. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, and this is God speaking, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. And this is picked up in the promise of the new covenant. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And it's not just that he chooses not to remember them. It's actually because he has actually dealt with them, forgiven them. He has taken them, and they have been paid for by another. Micah 7:19 says this, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You know, you might remember a famous quote from Corrie ten Boom, who said, God takes our sins, the past, present, and future, and dumps them into the sea, and then puts up a sign that says, no fishing allowed. I like that. All right, I guess to conclude, you know, what's our response to all of this? You know, we've seen that God remembers. He remembers his promises. He remembers to deliver. He remembers his own, but all in their own good time, for his ways and his purposes are deep indeed. You know, his promises to his children, and because of the work of Jesus on the cross, he chooses not to remember their sins against them. But what of our response? You know, it's not surprising that God would remember you. He doesn't forget. What is normally the problem is that we sometimes forget to remember him. Let me just give you a few quick scriptures. Psalm 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not none of his benefits. Psalm 105:5, remember his wonders which he has done, and marvel at the judgments uttered by his mouth. Psalm 106:7, our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindness, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. So the scriptures tell us to remember the Lord, remember all of the benefits that he's given us. Remember his wonders that he's done in our life. Don't be like the children of Israel who did not remember his abundant kindness. You know, Noah spent about a year in the ark, like we said. But when God remembered and delivered him, did Noah forget the Lord? Not at all. Noah experienced a wonderful but God moment. And the first thing recorded after leaving the ark is that he built an altar. He made an offering to the Lord for all of his goodness. Let me just read it out. Genesis 8:18-22, it says, so Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals, all the creatures that move along the ground, all the birds, everything that moves on the earth, they came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and the clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. Never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So should all of us offer something that we have back to the Lord for what he's done for us? Absolutely. 100%. We should never forget what he has done. Are you offering something? Are you offering yourself back to him to be used for his purposes? Are you remembering him in that way? D.L. Moody once said, "Let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can." It's so true. So true. And what about our response to others around us, even those that may hurt us? You know, does but God make a difference there too? Well, that's a bit of a setup question, really, because that's what we're going to look at next time as we explore three but God verses in the life of Joseph. So thanks once again. I trust that you will remember the Lord this week and all the weeks until he comes. May God bless. Amen.